What a blessing it is to be together to worship with God's people. I pray that your cup is being filled over the weeks. It can be emptied out by various things that happens. And we've been reminded by our praise set of God's faithfulness. I hope you picked up on almost every song, and we'll certainly close out on that as well. I pray that you're encouraged. I pray that the Holy Spirit is filling you to the joy of your salvation. We are in a series called God's Promises, Our Expectations. Last week, we talked about God's multifaceted love. How do we receive His love, and how do we receive His care? And we looked at it particularly from a unique perspective, from the loving discipline of God and how that works out in our life to make us stronger and better and to grow us through what we face in this life, this fallen world, the trials, the troubles, the hardships that we face. He is refining us. He's perfecting us to be more like Christ, to bring glory to God through those circumstances, and may surprise you, but blessing and goodness to you. And so we give thanks that He creates in us the very character of Jesus. He helps us to persevere and to have patience and to have that blessed hope that is a resilient light and hope passing through a world of darkness. Today we're looking at a theme also of the Holy Spirit's faithful guidance. We want to look in particular about God's promises to us for His wisdom and for His guidance. And you know, I think a lot of times in life we want that, we need that. And you might ask yourself the question in your own life and in the life of our church, for what do we need God's guidance and wisdom? And a lot of times think about what we pray for. And maybe it's not all good, but maybe it's not all bad. Maybe it's not all bad, but it's not all good. One of those kind of things. But I'm praying whether you might be saying that I need to buy a new house. Or maybe that you might be praying that I need to change jobs and that God would give me a better job. And I'm looking for His guidance and I'm looking for His wisdom in my life. You might be praying for some of you here or that are watching live stream, praying that God would send me a spouse, a godly spouse. And I just want to say to you, those prayers for guidance and wisdom, they can be selfish. They can be good for you, but they can be selfish. And they can be worldly. Now, if I'm praying for a house, or I'm praying for a job, or I'm praying for a spouse, how does that fit within the confines of God's holy will, of which He wants to give us His guidance and His wisdom? How would we be able to use those relationships of marriage, the relationship of how we use our job as an avocation for sharing the gospel, to being a light to display the glory of God, His attributes through us, in us, each and every day? You see how it takes on more meaning than just praying for guidance? It sometimes may seem to be pretty selfish. We may not even enter into the will of God in the sense of being glory to your name, or the will of God that we might lead somebody to Christ, the will of God that we might display His beauty and His goodness and His faithfulness and His love and His care and His wisdom. And that's just what He's promised. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at chapter 2 today. We're going to look from 9 through 16, but listen to the context and see if it sounds like our world. See if it sounds like in any way our church or the church with a capital C, the universal church. Because in chapter 1, verses 18, Paul was warning the church. He was correcting the church, saying, be careful not to bring in the wisdom and the ways of this world into the church. And your philosophies from your former life, the ways of the world into the church to such an extent that you can't decide who to follow and you can't decide how to get along, and there's no unity for the real purpose of the church. And he writes about that really through chapter 4. And I want to say to you that that seems to be the modern day church in a lot of ways. We bring in philosophies, we bring in wisdom, we bring in wisdom of the world from outside. And frankly, Paul's saying, we don't need that. Our wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And it's an entirely different wisdom and power of God. And that's what we really need to perform the purpose and the function for which the church exists, for why you are saved. And that's the real place of God's promises for you through the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, sometimes in life, we just sang about it, we do feel alone. We do feel isolated. We have had a crummy week, maybe. You are going through a season in your life where there is so much challenge going on in your life, either with your health or your relationship or with your children or with your work or with your finances, that you can't get your head above water. You feel like you're drowning. And Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you and I will give you the advocate. I will give you the Holy Spirit, the one who lives within you. And I will always be with you to give you guidance and wisdom. Well, it's not saying that some of the things that the world has given us scientifically and technologically is not good things that are useful. It's not saying that at all. I mean, we know in simply the realm of health care and medicine, we see great advances. But when the world tries to speak about things like sin and the destiny of man and the purpose of man and purpose of the church and salvation, the world in its wisdom is bankrupt. And that's what he's saying. We must remember to hone in on what God has called us to be, who we are, and what we're supposed to do. And that's our fulfillment. And we must seek the guidance and wisdom that is from above that accomplishes the will of God for our church and our churches and for our lives and for our families and for our work and for our finances and for our marriages and for our children. And we are to live that life to display his glory in and through all of those and more. Amen? So that's what we're trying to look at today, is that how do we not only receive God's love and care from last week, but how do we receive God's guidance and wisdom as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, if we would. And the scripture says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way that no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual reality with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's beautiful, isn't it? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you as broken people in many ways, in a broken world, in a fallen world. We experience hardships, and those hardships are heavy upon us. And we recognize that they're commonplace for every family, for every individual, for every situation. And we want you, we desire for you to give us the proper guidance and wisdom from above to help us to know and to understand who you are and how you're working and what your purpose is, and that you might draw us unto yourself for salvation, that you might draw us unto yourself to be sanctified or to be made more holy, that we might receive of your comfort. And today we pray for those in our family that have lost loved ones. We pray for those in our church family that are facing death. We pray for our church family that are undergoing tremendous trials with their health and testing and treatments. And we come before you this day just asking that you would show them your faithfulness by showing them your hand in some way, but most of all helping us to trust your heart and to know how that it is our privilege and it is the grace of God that allows us to come into your presence, that we might truly call upon our Abba Father, and that as we trust you and obey you, as we know the comfort and the teachings and the truth of your word, we indeed experience that you have loved us with a faithful love, and you are always with us. I pray, Lord, that it would lift our spirits. I pray that it would teach us how indeed we should walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I pray you today the word would teach us not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and then to have expectations that are biblical as a result of understanding your word today, and help us to seek so we may find. We come before you today. We offer our sin before you, the sin that separates us from you, that depletes us from the power of the Holy Spirit, that grieves the Holy Spirit, that hurts those around us, that hurts our relationship with you, that hurts ourselves. God, give us the desire, give us the will, and give us the power of God that we might become more holy by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, first I want you to begin to see a little bit in verses 10 and 11 that our kingdom guidance comes from the Holy Spirit. Our kingdom guidance and wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says here in verse 10. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And then verse 11, for who knows a person's thought except his own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And so what we're having here is that when we become a child of God, Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit would, we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come into our lives and in His fullness, in His completeness. Now, I want to say to you that it's my understanding of Scripture that the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens once. And we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's kind of like as we're born again spiritually and we're born again physically. Physically, children and babies are born, you know, with five and five normally if they're healthy, right? And they don't have the ability to use small motor skills. They learn and they develop to do so. And we have all of the Holy Spirit in us at the moment we're baptized as a child of God. The Holy Spirit is available to us. The Holy Spirit comes into our life to teach us and to remind us of the ways and truth and life of Jesus. But we have to learn indeed how to listen to the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit of God, okay? Now, there are multiple fillings of the Spirit, and today I hope through our worship that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but as you leave this place, you get emptied out by the trials and hardships of the world, right? And so every day we must be filled with the Spirit and we must be encouraged. And so I just want to say to you that the kingdom guidance and wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. Now he contrasts this in verse 9, and I want to go back before we go forward here a little bit. But look what he says. And we usually use this, or a lot of folks use this, in the context of a funeral, right? I memorized it in the King James Version a long time ago. Eye hath not seen, neither ear hath heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those of us who love Him. And so it's kind of giving us the learning that we know of is that we can learn and gather truth and information, what, through our senses, objectively, five senses, but here he says through the eyes and ears. That we're not going to see or know God on our own solely through our eyes and ears. Now, I'm not speaking that general revelation isn't a beautiful thing of God's creation and His majesty and through childbirth and that point to a living God, but come to a personal relationship with God that has an intimacy of His purpose at the center of our life, being forgiven of our sin. It's not just going to come through general revelations, it's going to come through specific revelation of the Holy Spirit giving testimony to the truth and word and purpose of God in our lives and for eternity. And so when we think about this a little bit, we see that the Holy Spirit is not just something that is going to be taken in by our eyes or our ears solely, and not just by experimental or experiential, I should say, or empirical kind of thought. And neither is it going to be taken by just rational thought, like, I'm going to think this thing through. I'm going to process this thought in my mind, and because it says, and what no human mind has conceived. It's not going to work that way either. Like, I'm just going to fill my mind up with a bunch of facts. Well, that might happen, but solely that's not how you're going to become in a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that personal relationship that guarantees your salvation, that one day you're going to heaven when you die, and that you have a new life here on earth. You know, he says, the things that God, who has prepared for us that love him, is his promise of the advocate, the comforter. Today, some of you are here today and you need great comfort for God. You need someone to advocate for you. You need someone to walk along beside you. You need somebody to pick you up and dust you off and walk with you. And the Bible says it's the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And because the Spirit of God is God himself, the precious Holy Spirit that we know and welcome and worship in our midst and that lives within us, that same Spirit knows who God is and knows all the attributes of God and knows all the thoughts of God and knows the plan and purpose of God. And so there's the blessing and promises of us, is the kingdom guidance. And I didn't use that word kingdom for any accident there. We're talking about, as opposed from worldly guidance, that even the decisions that you make into the world would have kingdom effect, that would have kingdom results, that would have kingdom purpose, right? What is the purpose for your job other than to make money and maybe drive you crazy on the way? It is to glorify God. And you spend more time there than anywhere, and so why not make it purposeful? Because God is calling you to serve him and to be a light and to display his glory while you're at work, amen? And there's a way for you to do it, amen? And so I'm just saying that this is something that's very, very important, and that there's no reason or logic or mind that can cause us to know the guidance and wisdom from God. You see, verse 10 says that anything that comes to man spiritually comes from the outside in. It's from the truth of God through the Holy Spirit to the mind and heart of man, where there's transformation, there's regeneration, there's enlightenment, there's conversion, all the wonderful biblical truths that are given to us in Scripture. And so be of good courage to know that God has given you the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit is in you, and that you're not alone and never forsaken. He's the person that brings truth who was previously hidden and mysteriously hidden. And so the Spirit reveals God to us, and now in the New Testament, every believer, every child of God has God, the Holy Spirit, living within them. And here's the example he gives you in verse 11. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It says, for who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? It's like, there's nobody that knows you better than you, right? You know all your joys, you know all your fears, you know all your sin. There's nobody else that knows you better than you. And there's the example. Other people may know you by what? Your external features. They may know you by your personality, but they don't know you like you know you. And so he says, for who knows a person's thoughts or spirit except their own spirit within them? And it's the same, that God, the Holy Spirit, knows the thoughts of God. And he willingly, faithfully, lovingly will share it with you. Those truths and those thoughts, that guidance and that wisdom, that love and care. But how do we achieve it? How do we receive it? And then secondly, not only guidance, kingdom guidance comes from the Holy Spirit. And many folks obviously would call that revelation in the theological world. But the second one is kingdom guidance and wisdom comes from a knowledge of God's word. It comes from a knowledge of God's word. Verses 12 and 13. And this is called inspiration. So revelation and now inspiration. What we have received, notice, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Verse 13. It says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities or spiritual truths with Spirit-taught words. Now, what are we looking at here? Verse 12 tells us how the Holy Spirit communicates truth or guidance or wisdom to us. He said, what we have received. What had they received? Well, the writers of the Scripture, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, which they had at this time, 27 in the New Testament, actually eyewitnesses, apostles of Jesus Christ, what we had received was his life, ministry, death, and resurrection. They had seen it all, didn't understand it all before the crucifixion, but understood it better and more clearly through and after the resurrection. And the teachings of Jesus became alive to them. And the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. And they began to see with enlightened eyes. And you see, the Bible says here is that they were given truth by God. Now, John chapter 14, verse 26, and I just want to read you a couple of verses about the Holy Spirit since we're talking about how the Holy Spirit gives us faithful guidance today. But verse 26 of that scripture says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, let's see, that's 26, wrong chapter. No, it's the right chapter. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's a promise to the apostles and disciples. Chapter 15, verse 26, it's kind of easy to remember. In the 14, 26, 15, and 26, you just kind of remember verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, Jesus said. And then chapter 16, verse 13, in that passage, it talks about, for when the Spirit, let's see, when the advocate comes, I will send him to you. It's the same scripture. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit worked through men to write the scriptures. All right, so when we look at verse 13, that's where many theologians says that he gave us a word for word. It's called verbal inspiration of scripture there. Explaining spiritual truth with Spirit-taught words. And it's giving us the principle and the thought that God communicates to us through the Word of God. Now, I want to say to you that it's not only people of unbelief that have a hard time supporting the sufficiency of Scripture. It's folks within the church that find a hard time believing Scripture. But the Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed, every bit of it. And so you know from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 that we quoted last week, all Scripture is God-breathed. God breathed the Scripture into the lives and the pen of these men that wrote the Word of God to us. It's God-breathed. It says that it's inspired. It's a different inspiration than your favorite novel. It's an inspiration from the very mouth of God through the Holy Spirit to men who wrote the Scripture, and how the Holy Spirit works by reading the Scripture, hearing the Scripture, memorizing the Scripture, meditating the Scripture. The Holy Spirit gives us inspiration. That's how God communicates to us for how we find guidance and wisdom. So if you're not in the Word of God and you don't advocate the Word of God, and if you're not hearing the Word of God regularly, I'm not talking about the appointed hour at the appointed day, but every day of your life, then there's a fair chance in your life that you're going to miss out on God's love and care. And there's a fair chance that you're going to miss out on his guidance and wisdom. And you're cherry picking it just whenever you want it and wherever you need it. And it's not going to be there because we haven't done our part. And the whole part of it is the relationship between the vine and the branches, which the Holy Spirit connects us now as this church to the very presence and the very peace and the very power of God in our life. So we must be people of the Word, because that's indeed how kingdom guidance comes from a knowledge of God's Word. We speak not by man's word, he says in verse 13. We don't speak by man's wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit's word. The very words of the Bible were given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit knows the knowledge and wisdom of God and reveals the truth of us, because the Bible is the revelation of God. The Bible says that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intents of men. It says in that same scripture, it is a living word. Look, it's not static on this page. It's dynamic. It will jump into your life. It will thrive in your life. It will give you joy in your life because the Holy Spirit is affirming and teaching you and reminding you of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, of the purpose and plan of God for your life, that indeed you are walking in the Spirit, meaning that you're walking within His love and care, that you're walking within His guidance and wisdom, because here's the word. You're not going to get the word just listening to it on Sunday morning. You have to pour the word into your life every day. And there's so many ways to hear God's wonderful word. So many good folks breaking the bread of life to help us learn and understand the word in commentaries and podcasts. Make sure you check out their doctrine. There's some out there that are not teaching God's word as well. And I just want to say to you that the kingdom guidance and wisdom that comes from God's word, he says, the brilliant and elite aren't going to be the source of wisdom. He's contrasting it with the world. And he says, I'm telling you what the Bible means because it's God's revelation. He said, in verses 1 through 5, I didn't come eloquently. He said, I did not come by persuasive words. I didn't come with a great deal of entertainment. I didn't know if I got a lot of inspiration or motivation to you, like those that can really speak, that are very charismatic with a little C. Thought I'd better clarify that for you. But I came in the power of God because it was the word of God through the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And he says it in verse 1 through 5 that it was more important to me that you didn't see the wisdom of men, that you saw the wisdom of God that comes by the power of the Spirit through the truth of the word, so you would know exactly where the truth and revelation of God is and where your guidance and wisdom comes from. So we can't avoid this important principle. And then lastly, it says kingdom guidance comes from receiving the enlightenment of the Spirit, called illumination, verses 14 through 16. So you have revelation, you have inspiration, the word of God written to us, and then you have illumination. You can read it on the screen if you like, but I'm going to quote it again with King James. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he understand them, for they're spiritually discerned. So the natural man is the fleshly man, the earthly man. It can be the carnal man, meaning that if you're a Christian and you're backslidden and you're carnal, you're not walking with the Spirit, you're backslidden and for a short while, I might add, it can't go on. God calls you back, you repent of your sin, you change. But I'm just saying that it's saying that this person, this is foolishness too. He's saying that even in today's world, you go to people and you share Christ with them. He said, yeah, with all my education and with all of the knowledge and technology of the world, you expect me to believe that through one person that Jesus Christ calls us to follow him and that he died on the cross for our sin. You expect me to believe that? You hear that, don't you? And yes, we believe that, and we pray for it, we expect others to believe that, and we desire that indeed the Holy Spirit might give us guidance to enlighten us, not just for our own good or our own folly or for the worldly blessings or the worldly wisdom, but for the kingdom of God, he would enlighten us, that we would have guidance and wisdom, maybe perhaps to know how to speak to someone that's lost, and how to approach them in their own context of tragedy or trial or temptation or sin in their life. Maybe we would begin to pray differently for the guidance and wisdom of God, that we would be where we need to be, that we might be able to be serving him daily in our life and loving others as Christ loved him, and to have a power that's beyond ourselves and a courage that's beyond ourselves and a joy that's beyond ourselves, so they might see Jesus in us. Do you see God's promises here and our expectations sometimes don't align because we ask for guidance and wisdom on ourselves. And it should be to the glory of God, regardless of how it turns out. Whether we feel like it's good or whether we feel like it's bad, but God enlightens us. And that enlightenment is the work of the Spirit to make the Word of God clear to us. Listen, do you believe this Bible wasn't written to a bunch of scientists? And if you're a scientist here, I don't want to offend you. It's not people that just have the upper echelon of knowledge and the higher IQ. Because the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 26, not many of you were noble, not many of you were educated, not many of you were anybody spectacular, you weren't really, really popular or anything of that all. And the Word of God was written to them, and they could understand the Word of God, and they were helped by the gifts God gave them through individuals in the church to help them to understand and to embrace and to live the Spirit-filled life. And that's the question for us today. If we desire to embrace the love and care of God last week and His promises for guidance and wisdom, we have to understand that we must submit to the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, surrender our life to the Holy Spirit as you did in salvation every day and sometimes many times. When we get angry and when we get upset and when things don't go our way and when we have hardships and trials, we have to submit to the Holy Spirit and say, will you use this situation? Will you use me? I don't like it, but will you grow me? Will you help me to give testimony that God cares for me and God cares for you? You see the difference? And you see the difference that it'll make in God's church and how it'll make a difference in your life. Unless we are enlightened and generated by the Spirit, we can't know God and we can't grow in Christ because the Word of God comes alive and is true and available for all Christians through the Holy Spirit of God. Let's touch on 15 to 16 real quickly, but it says the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. With the Holy Spirit, we make the right kind of judgments. We don't get involved in the world's kind of judgments. The world's kind of judgments will likely be for selfish and dishonorable purposes many times, but we do so by looking at it how God would look at it and how Scripture tells us to look at it and how the Holy Spirit inspires us to look at it for God's glory, to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. Do you hear the two dominant themes that we look at Scripture for and how we live our life by? And that's exactly what the Scripture does. It helps enlighten us to where we can make judgments about all things. Literally, the Christian life can fix the world, but who's going to step up to live it? Who's going to step up to embrace it? Will you be that person? Will I be that person? Will we be that church? And if so, do we believe that it will make a difference in the world and a difference in wherever we go? Because that's where the church is. And it says, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Why? They don't even know who we are. They don't even know what we're called to do. Just as they misjudged and killed Christ, they will misjudge us because they don't really know or understand the purpose. They think it's foolish. The Scripture says in verse 14. And they're not able to understand it because it's spiritually discerned. So what would we expect of them? They can't really judge us. They can't really understand us. We're not subject to merely human judgments because they don't really even know what they're judging by. But verse 16 reminds us the promise of God, and the difference is that we now have the mind of Christ because of the Holy Spirit living in us. You say today, well, just exactly how does that work? How does the Holy Spirit live in us? That just seems so intangible. I can't really touch it. Can't maybe always feel it, And the promise of God is that when we give our allegiance to Jesus as Lord, when we surrender or give our life to Him in faith by grace of God, and we repent of our sins, those two things go together to affect our transformation, by God's grace always, by the light of His Spirit, the conviction of His Holy Spirit as to sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's a work of God. You're not going to get saved without God's grace. You're not going to get saved without God. You can't get to God by yourself, all right? But when that happens in our lives, we begin to see our hearts and minds regenerated. They're transformed. They're enlightened. And the Word of God is used, and we have to remember that. Then the Holy Spirit brings this truth to light that, yes, Jesus is the only way. And He's the only truth, and He's the only life. And so every day, the Holy Spirit within us as children of God, as the promise of God, that you must be born of the Spirit, right, to enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, He said to a religious man, Nicodemus, that indeed renews our mind daily that we might prove what the good and acceptable purpose of God is. But don't be misinformed. The Holy Spirit of God works in direct alignment with the Word of God. And I hope that's why you're here today. And I hope that's why I badger you for this hour and 15 minutes of worship, that we are engaged, we're listening, God move in our life, we're seeking God, we're seeking His Word, we're praying to be hungry for His Word. We pray that it won't end just today at the appointed hour, but when we go home and the next day, that we're going to be in the Word of God asking the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to us His plan, will, and purpose. And that's how the Holy Spirit resides within us and reminds us of the teachings and truth of Jesus, because we know the teachings and truth of Jesus. Without the Word of God, the Holy Spirit would have nothing to remind you of, and that's why there's so many unbelievers. Now, for your lost friends and family, we can pray with them all day long, and we should. We can pray for them all day long, and we should. But the Bible says that the church and you and I are vehicles for salvation, by which faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you want your family member to be saved, somehow, some way, they have to hear the Word of God and its claim on their life. That's the only way. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So I'm not saying don't keep praying for them. I'm not saying, God, send somebody in there to talk to them, and somebody from work to tell them about Jesus. I'm just saying He's calling you to do that, and He's calling me to do that. And help me to be more faithful, and help you to be more faithful, and help us as a church to be more faithful at sharing the Word of God. And this whole idea says it's spiritually discerned. I just want to leave you with on this thought, that if you're going to receive the blessing and guidance and wisdom for your salvation and for your sanctification and holiness and for your comfort, then we have to realize that it's spiritually discerned. That means you're going to have to chew on it sometimes. Discern means it's spiritually appraised. You're going to have to evaluate it sometime. You're going to have to take it in your mind and heart and speak with other people about it sometimes. Holy Spirit speaks through your prayer, and Holy Spirit speaks through the church. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word, and the Holy Spirit speaks through brothers and sisters in Christ sitting under good teaching, help you to understand. The Scripture said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you. If you want to get there, you've got to meditate on the Word of God. And so if there is something going on spiritually in your mind and your heart, then the Holy Spirit is teaching you to pray about that and then to sit on it and remember the Scripture that God is teaching you, and He will reveal to you the truth, the Word of God, that you might move out in action and that you might be saved, that you might be more holy like Jesus, and that you might be comforted. And I want to say that that's how we receive the love and care of God, and that's how we receive God's guidance and wisdom. And I don't know where everybody's at today listening to us on live stream. Hopefully I know something about our church family a little bit, where you're at spiritually, or maybe a lot even. But the Bible just teaches us the Holy Spirit spoke when the Word was written, and He speaks when the Word is read. And He helps us to understand the Scripture. The Spirit now speaks through the Bible. He's the resident truth teacher who lives within us to make the Word alive. God's power comes through wisdom, and God's wisdom comes through the Word. There's no power apart from the Word and the Holy Spirit's testimony of the Word. You see, if you want to know God's guidance and wisdom, you first have to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have to commit your life, surrender your life, give your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that journey begins. It's not an end, it's just the beginning. And we must grow. And you'll know the truth, and the Bible says the truth will set you free from the quest of truth, because God will give you the truth by the Spirit of the truth as you're in the Word of God. You will have found it. You'll find the pathway. You'll find the journey. You'll be useful to God. And regardless of what happens in this life, you'll receive wisdom and guidance from above. I pray that for me. I pray that for you. I pray that for our church, that we might continue on the journey of being faithful to God's purpose for which He created us. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before You and give You thanks in Jesus' name for Your Word. And we just pray today that You would help us to know the precious Holy Spirit lives within us and to learn to walk in the Spirit in fellowship with a God consciousness each day. We pray that You'd help us to know the Word of God, where the Spirit can speak to us and give us Your guidance and wisdom. And we pray that You give us wisdom from above, because the Holy Spirit will enlighten us and help us to spiritually discern that guidance and wisdom for every day's life situation, for every day's life challenge, and more important, for spreading the good news that Jesus saves. God, would You help me to be that kind of pastor, that type of Christian? Would You help us to be that kind of church? God, would You help us to be Spirit-filled when we're emptied out, to run to You? Because, God, we know that You are so faithful. And, Lord, You would never leave us or forsake us. You not left us as orphans. And when the world seems to be going crazy and those around us, in many and varied contexts, help us to be faithful to show Jesus to others, because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Holy Spirit, we give You thanks for living within us. We recognize You as our faithful guide. We pray that You'd have Your way in our life and in this time of decision. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.